in this Mizmar. Okay, so we just started Pasuk Zayin. We just barely touched upon. Okay, no problem. Okay, we're Shchodesh. Okay, so we're up to Mizmar. We're up to over here to Mizmar. To Mizmar Chof Beis. We're up to page 194. Page 194, Mizmor Chabez, Pasuk Zayin. We just started this last week. Anoichi Seilas V'la'ish, I am a worm. I am a worm, V'la'ish, I'm not a person. Cherpas Adam, I am the disgrace of man. Uvizui Am, we learned already Rashi and Mitzudais. Maybe just run through it very quickly, it's very short. Look at the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Zayin. David over here, David, Pasuk Zayin, just appears on page 195. I'm weak. According to the Mitzvah David, the emphasis of a worm means weakness. People, they are insulted together with me. Okay, the Mitzvah David learns this to mean that when one person wants to insult another person, David is the example. Hashem should David you. David is the example of the most despised. Thank you very much. You're not like a servant, you're a kohen. I'm just an ordinary guy. You're a high priest. It's true. Okay.
I have important
that you have to. Okay, don't worry about it. It's fine. So therefore, when someone wants to insult somebody else, they say to David, "David, may Hashem make you like David." That's the degree of how lowly people thought about David. He was used as an example. One man would say to a fellow man when they got into a fight, "Shehu shuffle kimayni, oh, you're just like David. You're a real lowlife. You're a liar. You're a cheater." And this, unfortunately, Jews have suffered from this topic, from this thing, the whole existence of Golus, that when one person they insult another, oh, he's a Jew. He's a Jew, he's a crook. The word Jew is synonymous with a crook, with a thief, with a lowlife, and with all good zachen. Uvizui om, kol amevaze zulasi madi, v'chavdav b'loshonais. And see, over here, the Mitzvah, the Stavah learns that it's both as an individual and as a nation. David is the melech, and thus they look at the entire nation like David. So when they want to talk about a nation, it's a third world country. It's a Jewish country. And they want to give an example of a country. You know, there's certain countries, they you know, in this world they say, oh, a banana republic. What does that mean, by the way, Rahal? What does a banana republic mean?
It usually refers to the Central American countries, whose governments are corrupt.
So it's referring to a certain type of country, banana republic. So therefore, you like the state of Israel, apartheid, okay? And they want to insult a country. Oh yeah, they're just like Israel. They have no human rights. There's no this. The whole thing is a total lie. But unfortunately, halacha b'yudo esav seine yakar. So you see, everything is written to Tehillah. David as an individual is called the Cherpas Adam, and David, who he represents Klal Yisrael as a nation, we're called the Uvizui Am. Why is this pasuk appropriate for the story of Purim? Well, obviously, it would not have been possible for Haman and Achashverosh to enact a Gezerah, Lahashmi, Laharagu, La'abidus, Kol HaYehudim, unless the people in this world, society, actually felt that way. Okay, how do you get away with something? You know, you live in a world where people, they get away with incredible crimes. How do you get away with incredible crimes? Because the silent majority tolerates it. They tolerate it. You tolerate these type of things, it just goes to show it's not just yechidim. You see what goes on today in America, there's certain things. So you'll say, you know, you say, okay, you know, it's just, you know, there are some extremists who've taken hold of the government. Government, people in this country, they're very tolerant. And we're very tolerant. And you know, that is... You know, that's guilt. That's the story you got to stand up. If you really believe in something, you don't tolerate it. And the fact that the whole world tolerated the Gezerah, Lahashu, Laharagu, La'abidus, Kol HaYehudim, this is an indication that deep down in their subconscious, they believed in this pasuk. It's a very frightening pasuk, that the world, nothing has changed, that the Goyim, they look at the Jews as they tell us, they think they're weak. The Mitzvah, the Mitzvah means weak. and they look at us as a cherpas adam uvizui om. Rashi pasuk zayin v'nochi talas kol yishol mechane kishechad. According to Rashi, he doesn't say like the mitzvahs. He seems to look at the entire pasuk as the collective noun. The anochi means klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is perceived in the eyes of the world as being weak. Weak. Okay, now before you look at some of the first, I want to tell you a drush. And the drush is, this pasuk here begins the word ve'onoichi. This is a very interesting drush. Drush is that there are two words for the word I. There's ani and onoichi. Two words. If you were writing this pasuk, which one would you write? Ve'ani, soilas, ve'loish, or would you use the word ve'onoichi, soilas, ve'loish? Ani, why? There are two, in Parshas Yisro, these two words are juxtaposed. Yisro comes to Moshe and says, oh, we once spoke about this many times, in fact, to have a review, Ani Yisroi Chaysencha Bo'ilecha. I, Yisro, your father-in-law, I am coming. He made an announcement, I'm also a person. Ani Yisro Chaysencha Bo'ilecha. What, in the middle of the parasha, what do we have in Parashas Yisro? The Aseres Hadibros. How does Hashem introduce himself to Klal Yisrael? Onoichi Hashem Elokeach Asher Hayitzei Sicha Mi'eretz Yitzrayim. So Parashas Yisrael has two parts. The story of Yisrael and the story of Matan Torah. Why are these two stories juxtaposed? Why? It's all Torah we're talking. Why? Because Yisrael's introduction, the way he introduces himself to the Jewish people, is with the word Ani. How does the Ribbono Shel Olam introduce himself to Klal Yisrael? With the word Onoichi. What's the difference? So the Malam says. The Malam says, what's the difference over here? The Malam over here, he does not over here. He doesn't say over here, he doesn't delve into this over here.
As I understand it, as I have learned, that Onoichi represents the essence of the person.
Okay.
More so than Ani.
So what does Ani represent? What does Ani mean?
So
just physical body.
Spices. What?
My physical body doesn't mean anything. Doesn't.
No. My essential personality. My essential identity.
Well, that's Onochi or Ani.
Onochi.
And Ani.
Okay,
so the Malbim says something like this: Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaroi. The Malbim, what he says in essence is, let's say a person says, let's use the expression, Onoichi Yoshev, versus Ani Yoshev. So the Malbim says, when a person says Onoichi Yoshev, what he's coming to say is, it's not so important if I'm sitting, if I'm standing, I'm walking, I'm running. What you have to know here, it is I that is present. No, Yoshev, I'm sitting. No, maybe I could love Dafi Yoshev, Omeid. Onochi.
That's not your essential nature.
Right. Onochi. When you say Onochi Yoshev, you better understand who is the person that the subject of this sentence. When a person says Ani Yoshev, the emphasis shifts to the verb. It's not important who is sitting. What's important is there is a person sitting. He is sitting and he is not standing. He is not walking, he is not running. The focus is, there's something significant about sitting. Okay, the word Ani is a word which downplays the subject and shifts attention to the verb, to the action. The word Onoichi emphasizes the subject and is meant to, in essence, to de-emphasize the verb. What's important in who is here? When Yisrael came to Klal Yisrael to ask to be accepted as a convert, he came with humility. Ani Yisrael Chaysencha Bo'ilech. It's not important who I am. What is important is, I'm coming, I want to come. I want to join. I want to be part of this. Bo'ilech. When the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he gave Taryag Mitzvahs. Hashem's first word is, you know something? It's not so important what it says in the Torah. It's not so important. There are Taryag Mitzvahs. You know what it all comes down to? There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a Baal Habira. There's a creator. There's a God. Behave yourself. Havir HaShemayim. Tayag Mitzvahs. It's a tough pack. It's a big package. It's a lot of work. And eventually you'll get there. But that's not what's critical. What's critical about Matan Torah, Hashem only gave 10 Dibros. And that also didn't go off too well. After the first two, they called it quits. Moshe, you take care of the rest. Take care of the other eight. Everything was de-emphasized. The Ikari is, the Matan Torah is, Anochi Hashem Elokeach. That is deeper. So here, if we are discussing humility, the Anochi, Selas, V'loi Ish, Cherpas, Adam, V'zui Am, you know, we have some very serious, this person here needs a psychologist and a psychiatrist. He seems to be clinically depressed over here. He's calling himself a worm. He's not an Ish. He's a disgrace to society. He's Bazui.
I mean,
this guy, line up all the doctors.
But it follows in the pattern of the Ambos.
V'anochi off of Oifer. Oh, so they right. V'anochi off of, very good. V'anochi off of V'nachnu Ma and Moshe. You're saying also V'anochi off of Oifer. You're right. It says they're also V'anochi. V'anochi, excellent. V'anochi. Manoira, the awesome is V'anochi. What's the shot? What would have been so bad if this Avram would have said V'ani off of Oifer? If David would have said V'ani Soilas V'loyish, the answer is, if they would have said Ani and Ani off of Efer, then it wouldn't indicate there's humility. It just means you're clinically depressed, and we have to send you to a doctor to do something for you, take some medicine or to pump you up. He is clinically depressed. The word V'yonochi means Gaiva. V'anochi. Gaiva, I know who I am. I'm a great person. I was thrown into the Kivshan Reish, Avraham Avinu said. David HaMelech, you know, he put up with a lot of nonsense. He was enormous emunah and bitachon b'Hashem. I know who I am. V'onoichi. Yet, with everything that I know, all of my accomplishments and my resume that is unmatched, it doesn't matter. I'm a nothing. The koyach of anivus is, and this drum shooting, is to know where you're holding. Know where you're holding, and don't get carried away. Don't abuse your power. Don't abuse your milas. No, so Hashem gave you a gift, and you accomplished something, so what? Don't wear it on your lapel, your accomplishments. The onoichi, I'm a healthy, proud person. I am not taking any medications. I'm not depressed. I know who I am. I know where I'm holding. Yet, so what? I'm a worm. I'm a toilas, v'loi ish, cherpas odam, uvizuya. That's greatness. Okay, it's like the shminis shebeshminis. You want to say the shminis shebeshminis? Yeah, you know, I don't know. All different dimensions of a person has to have self-worth within his humility.
He became a king, David. So he said, Afal pi sha'azeh anochi v'ani melech Yisrael, but who am I? I'm nothing.
Right.
So
it's a healthy form of humility. Said,
wow, I saw God, I saw the who? No, anochi. It shows me to see the sulam and this.
It's like, you know, people unfortunately, you know, I once went somewhere in Shabbos, and the host said to me, I just want to warn you, I have a guest by me. This person was a professional. He says to me, you know, I have another guest. I want to tell you in advance. You should know, this person is suicidal. he was in a mental institute. They locked him up, and they said there, someone there said, just send this fellow to this guy for Shabbos. Maybe he'll, So I just want to let you know, you should be careful what you say at the table. Because the person at the table is suicidal. I don't know, to me it didn't seem too suicidal. And certainly professionals, when you know they hear about all these people that I know are suicidal, they're gonna kill themselves. So, you know, the first question is, if you keep on saying you're gonna kill yourself, so why don't you do it already by now? Do you just want attention, or are you really serious? The people that are really serious, they just do it. They don't ask questions. So obviously, the first thing is, you have to know. After when a person proverbs anivus, what kind of anivus is it? What kind is it of the anachi, or is it vani? The different varieties. This combination is unique. Avraham Avinu said the anachi, and he said here, he said David said the anachi, and the other one part of the team of is Moshe and Aaron. They said the nachnu, that's anachnu. Think about it, it's the same exact thing. The nachnu mo. Nachnu is the plural of anochi. Isn't that amazing? All three members of the team, they introduce themselves the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam introduced himself to Matan Torah, in contrast to the way Yisro introduced himself to Klal Yisrael, which means we know who we are. Don't play around with us. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. We know who we are. Yet, after everything is said and done, we're not here to abuse our power. We're not here to push you around. We're just Hashem's servants. We're nothing but we're totally subject to his power, and we're not here to do anything to you. Even though we're very great, we know who we are. All three members of the team introduce themselves with the word Anochi.
The davening says this every day. Yeah. We're acknowledging that we do good things, but it's not worth anything to be a
tomorrow. How does it start again? Before that, how does the whole thing go? Right? Like her body. Anachnu. Hiloi al tzidkoi seinu anachnu. What's the word? Next word. Mapilim tachnim ufanecha. So very good. We start off with the word nachnu, which is the same thing as a, which is anachnu. It's anochi. The same shoresh as the word anochi. Not the word ani, and doesn't have that chof. Excellent. Okay, excellent. So we actually say every single you have to appreciate who you are. Excellent. Okay, let's go to the next one. Pasukhes. Kol ro'ai yaligu li yaftiru b'safa yanurosh. All those who see me, they mock me. Yaligu lag. The word yaligu, the shoresh of yaligu is lag, is mockery. Yaftiru b'safa. Dismiss. Potur. Person, that was the term when a person leaves this world. There are many different. This is a very fascinating study in the human condition. Go to every single language and look at the word that is used to describe death, and it's extremely telling in what a person, the hashkafa of that nation. So in English, when a person dies, there is a certain sensitivity. They say he passed. In America, it's very common when you hear when a person dies, well, on the radio, this so-and-so, Jack so-and-so, dead, 86. They say on 10-10 wind with such, they say the guy's name, dead. And then they say his age. So New York, it sounds so Brooklyn. So Brooklyn, the way they talk, 10-10 wins, the whole style of talking. But you do hear very, very commonly in America, when a person dies, they say he passed away, which is a very nice, beautiful expression. He passed, which basically means he's in the next world. Exactly. So where does it come from? Now, well, you see, there's two different. So there are two connotations of expression. There is he's. It's still the same. Passing is like Pesach. He passed over from this world to the next world. The word pitir means potur, he's exempt. It's a really very different expression, which means that when a person is in this world, he has obligations. He is mitzuveh ve'oiseh. It's a world of opportunity to do mitzvahs. He has obligations. Now, he's the same person. Nothing changed. The only difference is he's exempt from doing mitzvahs. And when a person is exempt from doing mitzvos, you're not allowed to mock him. These two words, they go together. Loyeg l'rosh cheref oiseyu. What's loyeg l'rosh? If a person goes to the cemetery, you're not allowed to wear your tzitzis out. Why not? Because when a person wears the tzitzis in front of a grave, it's like saying to the dead person, ha 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 ha, you're dead. You can no longer do mitzvahs. Ah, I have in my possession tzitzis. U'isim oisai, u'zichartem es kol mitzvahs Hashem. All of the mitzvahs, the one that's the greatest mockery to the dead is tzitzis. Because tzitzis, when you look at the tzitzis, you remember all of the mitzvahs of Hashem. And the dead can't do anything. So a person, when he goes to cemetery, he's obligated to go and put his tzitzis, hide them. Truth is, we have discussed many, many times, is that in ancient times, we made a very strong argument that the derech of wearing tzitzis was to have them drag on the floor. That's how they wore tzitzis. Today, if the tzitzis are dragging on the floor, you give the guy, pick up your tzitzis, your shlomo. Don't let your tzitzis drag. It's a bezoyon, a disgrace for the tzitzis that the tzitzis should be touching the floor. They're going to get dirty. It's a bizui mitzvah. Not necessarily. Today, beyond the shadow of the doubt, that's the way we observe the mitzvah. But in ancient times, derech was adrama. The tzitzis should lechatchila drag on the floor. And the reason being is to reflect that Hashem's Torah mitzvahs, there's no part of this world that is exempt from Hashem's mitzvah. It goes all the way from the highest part of Shemayim, all the way down to the lowest, to the earth. So when you walk in the street, your tzitzis, like a kala. Every go to a wedding, so the kala depends on the kala, but some of the kalas are these very elaborate trains. I don't mean the Q train or the B train. They have these very elaborate trains. They go down to the chuppah. Come on, pick up your dress. It's going to get dirty. What are you doing over here? Pick up your dress. No, when they go down, no one's holding it. It drags on the floor. The same way a kala, when she walks, she has this elaborate gown that drags, that trails on the floor. That's exactly what you're supposed to do with the tzitzis. The tzitzis is your gown.
The tzitzis, I guess, is one of the people.
And what's the proof to this halacha? Because he was a very wealthy person, and obviously everyone did this, but the consequence of doing this is that your tzitzis get dirty. When you're walking down the street, you do this every single day, so your tzitzis get filthy dirty. So what did he do? He made for his tzitzis pillows. So when he would walk down the street, they wouldn't get dirty. The pillows would get dirty. So this makes any sense to you? This only makes sense if it was common for when a person would walk with his tzitzis. The tzitzis, the way it used to be, not like today, is the tzitzis drag along the ground. Therefore, now this gemara makes a lot more sense. When a person goes to the cemetery, you're supposed to pick up your tzitzis. It doesn't mean put your tzitzis in your pants. You should know that's a bizarre also. The Mishnah Beruta says, to put your tzitzis in your pants where it touches your flesh and gets sweaty, makes contact with your flesh, that's not proper. A person who needs to have his tzitzis, Baruch Hashem, the Magid Shir is here. I may have a little bit early today. Can I put you on the spot?
Okay.
Last half an hour? Maybe. Well, let me
half
see.
Hour is okay.
Let me see. Maybe I'll have to make a phone call. We'll see afterwards to make a phone call. I might want to go to the Levaya today. We'll see. So person walks, go to the cemetery, and they used to make on the tzitzis a little pouch. No one does it. You never heard this today, but on the tzitzis on your talis katan, you would have stitched onto the talis katan a little pouch. And when you were in an environment where you don't want to show your tzitzis amongst the goyim, you don't want to let everyone know that you're a Jew, they shouldn't kill you, so you take your tzitzis and put the tzitzis it's attached to the garment, but you would put it into the pouch that was sewn onto the garment. But just don't take the tzitzit and put them in, into your pants, and it touches your flesh, is not the best thing to do. Not that it's also, but it's not the best thing to do. So when the person goes to the cemetery, so what is he supposed to do? Don't, the point is, as you're walking from place to place, and your tzitzis are dragging on the floor, as was the custom in ancient times, as you find the grave you're looking for, it's only natural that your tzitzis will be dragged across graves. That's loyeg l'rosh. If you're walking, I need to go get to that section. In order for me to get that section, I have to walk in between five graves and make a whole zigzag to get there. It is inevitable that your tzitzis, if your tzitzis are dragging on like a kala's gown, is dragging on the floor, you're going to end up, your tzitzis are going to be dragged over the graves. That's a disgrace. You're mocking them. I have tzitzis. You're dead. You can't do anything. But if you just pick up your tzitzis, you could show them. Pick them up. Put them over your shoulders, like what we do. And you walk in front of the grave, you're not mocking the dead. You're not mocking the dead. You're dead, I'm alive. I'm alive, I can do mitzvahs and you can't. You can't go to a grave. How could a person ever go to a grave? Going to a grave, you're mocking the dead. Because you go to the grave, you're dead, I'm alive. The fact that I'm alive is a mitzvah. And you're dead. How come going to the grave is not called Loig L'Rush? That's not Loig L'Rush, you're allowed to go to a grave. But if you take your tzitzis and you drag it on the grave back and forth, that is loyeg l'rosh. Now we today, we don't know all this, so what do? When you go to a grave, you put your tzitzis in your pants. But really, that's not what it means. All it means is that when you go to a grave, just don't take the tzitzis, and as you walk, let it drag on the grave. That's loyeg l'rosh. Here we have two. Now, what is a dead person? A dead person in our vocabulary is called the person who is niftar. Niftar is a very delicate term. It doesn't mean departed. It means exempt. Exempt. Potter. Exempt. So that means.
Really,
it's potter. I mean, we in English, we say departed, we say dead, passed on, gestorben. What does gestorben mean? Every language is a revelation. It is a revelation of the subconscious emuna of the neshama, of the nitzchis of the neshama. I'm sure someone has done a study on this. No question, a study on this is that every culture, do they believe in the afterlife? Okay, do you believe in the after? Do you believe in the nitzchis of the neshama? If an Akikores has no connection to this understanding, the Nitzchus of Neshama, then when a person is dead, the term that he will select to describe death is a very raw, harsh term, which means it's over. But if a person is a religious person and has emuna and understands that the Neshama is Nitzchi, the more you understand this, numerically it's very delicate. You pass, you pass. Which I'm assuming means, maybe I'm wrong, it means the neshama is present, it's just not in this world. It's passed on to another world. The word potter is even a greater word. It means the neshama is here. You don't even have to describe passing. The neshama is so alive. The presence is so great, nothing really happened. The only thing that happened is the neshama is now potur. It is exempt from the mitzvahs. It has, no, think about it, it has mitzvahs. It does have mitzvahs, but it's potur. Noshim are potur from mitzvahs aseh she'azman grama. Can noshim still do the mitzvahs? Can they make a bracha? Yeah. So what's the difference between a woman and a man? It's that she's not mitzvah v'oseh. But some women, they do everything. Okay, the women count Sriya Soimer. Many women do better than men. They can tell you in a moment what the Sriya is. They'll miss a day. Are they high? If they're not high, they're exempt. They're potter. They're exempt. So when the neshama passes, or whatever, when the neshama, when the person, what we call, is clinically dead, he's the neshama is just as alive as it was before. The only difference is that the neshama is exempt, is potur from mitzvahs. And when a person is potur from mitzvahs, what is the worst thing you can possibly do? You can mock him. Loyeg l'rosh, to mock the poor. So isn't it interesting that over here in this pasuk, these two words are juxtaposed. David is saying in essence that my enemies, they fulfill every single day with all of the hidurim, the mitzvah of loyeg l'rosh. Loyeg l'rosh, they mock me. They look at me like I'm a person who's potter, because I'm illegitimate. I have no standing in this world. I'm memel, I'm potter, and they mock me. Call Roy, all those who see me, yal eagerly they mock me. Yaftiru visafa, they dismiss me with their lips. In essence, they say that you're potter. You are not our leader. You are exempt from serving in a role of leadership. Again, and the juxtaposition of Yaligu, it's a dead person is called potter, and the worst thing you can do to the dead is be loyeg l'rosh. And here they go together. Yaligu li yaftiru v'safa yaniu roishus yahavin the kinos, over and over again. They wag their head. They turn their head. They wave their head in disgust. This is a very great insult to David. Pasuk hey, pasuk ches min mitzvus David. Pasuk Ches on page 195 says Yaftiru. This means Yiftichu sefasam liloig bi, they open up their mouth to make to mock me. Vi nanu baroish kler chamalig, they shake, they wave their head, they move with their head as an expression of an insult. Rashi Pasuk Ches says Yaftiru Yiftichu. So I told you the wrong shot. I told you it's not a shot. Rashi and the Mitzvahs as well mean they both say, now what I told you. They learned the word of Yaftir, not from Potur, because probably the word Potur is probably Aramaic. Is that correct? It's probably Aramaic, that word. Potur. Hebrew, it's Peter. Peterechem. Peterechem. The opener of the womb. Open. Peterechem. The Peterechamar Tifteh Veseh. Peterechem. Mechol Peterechem Li. To open. They open up their mouth in words of insult. It's opened. It's of the peterechem, the child who opens up the mother's womb for the very first time. Yaftiru in psicha k'may peter mayim, person who opens up a stream of water, a channel of water. Okay, so that's what it says over here, and they open up their mouth and they say words of mockery. Rashi yaftiru yiftachu k'may peterechem upetachamar peter mayim. Three examples. Now let's see. You know, we didn't do the Mamor Chazal in the previous pasuk. Let's go back for a moment. The Telas, back on the page 195 in the bottom of the page, 195 in the bottom of the page. 1 second, 195 bottom of the page. It says over here, V'yonichi Salas La'ish Amar Yochna Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Kol Makom Shatam Motzi Dvarim Shal Rabbi Elazar Ben Shal Rabbi Yosi Aglili Bahagoda Asay Oz Necha Ka'ar Ka'afar Keses. Whenever he speaks, make your ears open like a funnel. In other words, absorb every word that he says. The Rabbi Eliezer ben Noach Rabbi Yosef, really, he was from the greatest darshanim, the greatest darshanim. Amalek Makadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Choshkani Vachem, I desire you. Hashem says, I have a great cheshek, yearning for you. Why? Shafil b'shal shani mashpiel lacham gedula. Atem imat matzvim lefonai nasad gedul yavram amar amal lefonai v'nochav hafer. V'moshe v'yaron amru they said v'nachnu mo. L'David amar v'yonochi telas v'loy ish. Okay, so therefore they all said they all use expressions of humility. Okay, they're part of the team. We really mentioned that before.
Even when Hashem confers greatness on them,
even greatness, they still humble themselves. So where do you see the greatness? This requires much more heaven. Where do you see the greatness in these stories? Okay, I'm not sure.
Obviously, Moshe and Aaron and Abraham.
Okay, so again, this passage also fits very well into the narrative of the story of the Megillah, because again, the whole Klal Yisrael is in very grave danger. Pasuk test. Goyel El Hashem Yisalitehu. Gol means to reveal. The Mitsudois Tzion, there is no Mitsudois Tzion, Hamagalgel Umisabe Bitchoin El Hashem Hu Matzilo. He learns gol means, not Lashon Gilui, but red means to roll. Megalgel Umisabe Bitchoin, which means to be continuous. A circle is infinite. Something which is a Gilgal represents a continuous cycle. A person has to continuously channel his faith to Hashem. That's how the Mitzvah stuff understands with Goel. It means continuously turn all of your issues towards Hashem, to look up to Him with faith. One more time, with the Mitzvahs? In the Mitzvahs, pasuk gol avol hamgalgel, a person rolls, umisaveith, turns, bitchoinoi, so he's adding the word bitchoin into the pasuk, el Hashem humatziloi. Next words, gol Hashem, you shall continuously direct your faith to Hashem, adding the word bitchoin, yifaletehu, Yatzilehu, ki chofetz bo. Two words which for our purposes right now mean the same thing. You're guaranteed that Hashem will save you. Two words mean this: Hashem will save you because Hashem desires you or him, that person. A person who is trained to have faith in Hashem, Hashem has desire for that person. And the consequence of having the desire that this Baruch will come to that person's rescue. Yifalotel means rescue. And Yatzileu means saved, savior. What's the difference? I don't know, but they sound very good together. Two words which mean Hashem will come to the rescue people in that straight. Look at the Mitzvah David. There is no way to do the whole thing. We do Kichav Etzvo. The Mishav Etech Boi Karoi. Rashi Gol Hashem Kvo Logol to roll. Yeshon Li Goylel Yehovoi Umasoi. Yehovah means your peckle. Yehovah means, what's the pasuk? It says, what was I saying? I can hear. Throw on Hashem your peckle. I forgot the pasuk. Okay, I may come, but the word over here, Yehovah in Rashi means your package. Umasoi, your burden. Two different words for your burden, your package. El yoitzroi, upon Hashem. Leman yifalatehu, Hashem will rescue you. When the person has a problem, and this again perfectly fits the narrative of the Purim story, the Jewish people, leich kinoiz eskol hayudim. When you come to recognize, you have no choice but to come unto Hashem. Pasuk yud ki ato.
I think the pasuk is shalach al Hashem Yehovah.
Oh, Yehovah. Shalach al Hashem Yehovah. Excellent. That's what I was looking for. Vuhu yichalkelech. Hav al Hashem. Hav al Hashem Yehovah. No. Hashlech al Hashem. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovah. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovah. Throw on Hashem your package, your peckle, your burden. And he will sustain you. And that's what the pasuk says. Next one. The pasuk says now, Ki ato goichi miboten. The word goichi is a very important word. Goichi means to pull out. To pull. Miboten, from the womb. Maftichi, you are my fortress, my hope. Al shedei imi, when one nurses from his mother. Now, let's go on. This is a very important pasuk. Pasuk yud, this pasuk yud is teaching us about a child. It's indirectly telling us an incredibly fascinating concept. And that is an incredible thing what it says here. Let's see the first of the Mitzudos. We'll see. Mitzudos Pasuk Yud. Mitzudos Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. Let me find it. Goich mi baten. Motzi'i mi beten imi. You pull me out of my mother's womb. Look at the Mitzudos Siyoin. Goichi inyin hoitza'a. Veham shacha. To draw. Kimoi. Vatogach b'naharoisecha, you drew him in your rivers. Okay, to pull out. Maftichi, my stronghold. Mimcha huftachti liyishoin al shdeimi. In you I have faith to be saved. Al shdeimi, on my mother's chest. Liyos nizoin mechalava, to be nursed. My mother's shodai. Okay, to be nursed. Liyos nizoin mechalava. Now, Rashi, what does Rashi say? Goichi motzi'i, you pull me out, u'moshchi, you draw me. Kimo yogiach yardin elupiu, the yardin draws out, the water is draws out elupiu. I don't know what that means. Maftichi al shteimi zimanta. The nachash crawls on its belly. So the belly, gochoin. Interesting. So it was the same word. Why is the belly called the word goichi? Means to draw. The food draws. The food, hoilech al gochoin. It travels on the gokh. So why would you raise the word? It crawls. It crawls on the gokhon, on its belly. Okay, Rashi, literally, Shadayin li shoin aleyem limechia. Okay, Zimanta la'adam shadayim. You designate, you prepared la'adam shadayim. Li shoin aleyem limechia. So that a child can rely upon them for sustenance. It's an amazing thing. The shadayim. Okay, this Torah, which is a little bit for a mature audience type of Torah, but it's not a coincidence that the word Shadayim is the same letters as Shakai. Okay, nothing in the Hebrew language is a coincidence. Hashem made the world with the shame Shakai. Sh'omar le'olamai dai. On our tefillin, the shame Shakai is prominent. Hashem says to the Avos v'era. Hashem says to Moshe, Vo'era el Avraham, Vel Yitzhak, Vel Yaakov, Bekel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo inoidati lohem. When Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, when they learned about the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, their focus was to learn about Hashem in the dimension of Shakai. Shin Dalad Yud. What does that mean? So we know there are many different Beirurim, but what do we mean Shakai? It's an acronym. Sh'omar le'olamoy dai. Hashem is playing hide and seek. Hashem made a world, and the world was expanding to the degree where it would have been obvious that there is a creator. And Hashem says, no, I want to be anonymous. Sh'omar le'olamoy dai. I don't want the world to know that I'm the creator. Let man discover me on his own. I'll tell you a good joke. Someone told this joke to me yesterday, which touched upon what I just told you. It's a very good joke. A Batran. What was the name of the famous Batran? Miller? Mm-hmm. What's his first name? Yankel Miller?
Yeah.
So he was once a Batran at a wedding, and one of the Zaydis came over to him and said to him, I hear you, the Batran, they paid you a lot of money. I want to warn you with the Gresta as horrors. Don't you dare say anything about me. Don't you dare. I don't want you to talk about me. And if you're going to talk about me, you're going to cause me a lot of tzar. So Yankel Miller said, I'm a trained professional, and I know that when a customer says this to me, that don't you dare talk about me, it causes me tzar if you say something nice about me. You know what it really means? He's desperate. Desperate. For covet. Desperate. So, Yaakov Miller gets up, it's the Batran, it gets up to the Zayda, he lays it on thick, so thick, he lays it on. At the end of the chasna, the Zayda comes over to him and he takes out of his pocket an envelope, $500 cash. Thank you very much. Yaakov Miller says, Al Zenema, Lefitzara agra. According to the tsar is the reward. The more tsar the person says he has, the more money I make. Lefitzara agra. Avdov, it's a good line. It's a very good line. Lefitzara. You have to be invited. A gadol said to me, he doesn't understand this.
My Mechutin insisted that there be
a batran?
A batran, right? I said, no way. And he insisted. So I said, okay, so the batran calls me up and he starts asking me
all the questions.
I said, you got worn out. That's all I'm paying. So
hour? Whoa.
You can fit in an enormous amount in 1 hour.
Oh, yeah. It's a big side. The other side. If you're going to talk about the other side, it's not going to talk about you. Leave me alone. Literally. The guy has the chutz. Can I say chutz? Because he went on for like about an hour and he had 2 hours.
Oh, God. You probably shouldn't have played that.
Rabbi Levine, why are you like talking about it in Babcom?
He comes over.
He
wanted to come over to me with that long. I did not that long, but now I understand.
He wanted the money.
Wanted
a tip.
I need a bonus. I did.
He wanted a tip. He wanted
the
bonus.
And he asked him for the bonus because he wanted.
Okay, I agree with you. I don't. One thing I can tell you, there's someone in Torah Das. He's a Rebbe. I don't know if he's still a Rebbe anymore. He was a professional Batra. But he was a very serious guy. That's really the truth, and I saw this. I was literally blown away. They hired him not to do the bat chonis is at the end of the wedding. They make jokes, but these same bat chonis, the real ones,
by the tish.
Oh, by the chassis tish, and they do serious stuff.
Yeah.
And wow. Wow! I saw this. I went to a wedding. Wow! This guy. I think his name is Laser. Lazy was a Rebbe in Torah Vidas. He went and he only did by the Chassid's Tish before they took the Chassid to the Kaala, and he reeled with a nigun, and wow, he really brought the Musr, stark Musr, and he really brought the oil to tears, real tears, not make believe tears, real, not alligator tears, real stuff, and he set the mood. He set the mood for the Chassid. How often do you see that? Where you have a person before they march the chassan down to really put the people in the proper mood for the wedding. That's talent. In any event, going back over here, so how do we get into this over here? We got into this somehow. We got into this al shadei imi. Okay, so the word shakai means sustenance. I don't remember how we got into this. I don't remember, but maybe we'll come back. But shakai. Shakai, so when we talk about Avraham, Yisrael, and Yaakov, we refer to what?
Shdei imi.
So when we spoke about Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were introduced to the Ribbono Shel Olam to the name of Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nidati lohem. What does Shakai stand for? Oh, that's what we got. Sh'omar lo ilam oidai. Don't talk about me. That's what we got into this. Hashem, that's the common translation of the word Shakai. Shaka is not a word, it has no meaning whatsoever, it's nothing more than an acronym. Sha'omar le'oilomoy dai. Hashem said to the world, Atkan, I don't want the world to know who is the author. I want to be anonymous. And that is a very powerful concept because that basically means that it's built into the DNA of this world. It is impossible to prove scientifically that there is a God. All of these books in the bookstore, you have a whole wall that will proof of God's existence. It's nonsense. If you don't believe, then these books are not going to make one dent. They're not going to make one dent in you. All the proof is not going to make one dent.
It'll just leave you with questions.
And if you're a Maimon, you don't need even one book. It's good, you know, it's like icing on the cake. But it's not going to make a difference. If you're a Maimon, you don't need it. And if you're not a Maimon, the most absolute concrete proof will not make a dent. You cannot prove it scientifically there is a God. That's the way Hashem made the world. Sh'omar le'oilomoy dai. Hashem said to this world, enough. And what does it mean, dai? Chazal say dai means the world was developing and reaching a point where it would be now clear who the author, who the creator is. It's like when you make a poem, all of the pytonym of the Middle Ages and before, they always sign their name. There's always some type of acrostic, an acrostic, okay? And the acrostic has their name. So if you don't finish the Mizmar, if you miss a line somewhere, it's all ruined. So the world is a song. The song is not finished. Oz Yosher Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. In the future generations, then the song the real song will be sung, where in the song the author's name will appear. But right now in this world, Hashem told the Bria, do not, under any condition, allow it to be known who the creator is. I want to play a game with man. Hide and seek. This is the Pshuta Shel Mikra. However, the word Shakai also is a word in Hebrew. And it means a breast, a bosom, whatever word. It means the Shadayim of an Isha. And what does that mean? That represents a relation. Kasha Yisa Ho'oimein Es Hayoimein. Kasha Yisa, what is an Omein? A wet nurse. And what is the word, what is the Shoyresh of the word Emuna? An Omein. A woman, a nursing woman, is an Omein. And how does a nursing woman nurses, sustains the child through the Shadayim? So the word Shadayim is the connection between the Yelet and the mother through Emuna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our mother, Kaviyach. We are the infant, the Yoinek. And we have Emuna. And the Emuna is channeled through the Shadayim. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov came to realize that. They came. Their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was of a child to a mother, and it was not a sophisticated relationship, if you want to argue. Just like an infant doesn't know about this world. He knows what goes on in this world. He knows about this whole Wild West, what goes on out there. All the child knows is that when I'm hungry, my mother feeds me. That's all he knows. He gives a little kvetch. He makes believe he's tired. He gives a little kvetch. Everyone comes running. They come running. And they feed the child. In the child's mind, there's no sophistication. It knows, I'm taken care of. I don't got to worry about anything. Someone's going to feed me. Someone's going to clean me. Someone's going to bathe me. I don't have any problems. I have sustenance. Avraham Yitz, does a child know ganshas? Child knows nothing. He does not talk. He doesn't know how to communicate. He knows nothing. But one thing he knows, when I'm hungry, my mother takes care of me.
On the flip side, he did know ganshas.
Okay, that's it. Okay, this is Kabbalah.
And he did know that inside the womb, the mother sustained it and kept it clean.
Okay, that was a different state. That's a Kabbalistic approach. That's a different state.
I have my son told me, Eldad Meidav, so people ask, what kind of name is it? Eldad Meidav? So he says, what was the Nevuah? Moshe Meis Yeshua Machis. Because before, Moshe says, what do you want from me? So it's going to be from your dad to his dad.
Wow.
It's going to be Moshe met Yeshua Machmir, so he will take care of it.
Wow, this is your pshat?
This is what I have, my son told me, because in Israel, he heard it from...
Loshnav Dad.
Dad.
Wow. You know, we also...
Eldad. They were also my brothers.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying also right. You're saying, remember when Purim, we spoke about this incredible chiddush of Dod Esther, Mordechai is called the Dod Esther. That's not the right word. It should be Dodo. So we learned, I quoted you a medrash, Chazal, the word Dod means your Rebbe. She, Mordechai, Mordechai married the daughter of his Rebbe. Because the word Dod means dad, Yoinek. And in spiritual terms, a Talmud relationship to his Rebbe.
Nurtured.
The Rebbe nurtured the student. According, we had the whole topic on this is that there's a stira. Was it her uncle? Was it her the whole discussion. So when you said the word don't quote this marriage, it means that Mordechai married the Rosh HaYeshiva's daughter, his Rebbe's daughter, Dode, because the word is not grammatically correct. It's the only time you have that word in Nach. That way, the way an uncle is used in that context is unusual. Okay, going back over here. So here we have Shadei Imi represents Maftichi al Shadei Imi. It represents this concept that Kadosh Baruch Hu of Emuna. Ato Goichi Imi Bot. You pulled me out of the womb, Maftichi. See, the word maftichi, al shtei imi, they go together. Why do they go? We had this discussion, remember, we had in Shiraz David, emuna and bitochoin. Wherever you have the word shtei imi, ka'asher yiso ho'oimein es ha'yoinek. An omein is miloshon emuna. And the ultimate dogma of emuna in this world that we can relate to, that we can use as a prototype, as a model of emuna, is the emuna that an infant has in its mother that it will be fed. And we Chazal took that, or the Tanakh took that concept that is real in this world like nothing else, of an infant in its mother, and use that, take that idea and apply it to Hashem. Hashem will take care of you. Kasher yisocha oimein es hayonek. Now, this pasuk is a little more complex because it doesn't say the word emuna, but it says the word bitochoin. But we do know that bitochoin and emuna are synonymous. And not synonymous, this was the complicated question. What exactly is the difference between them? So we said from the Chazon Ish, there are many perushim, emuna is the concept and the bitochoin is the application. How much emuna, the amount of bitochon shows how much emuna you have. A person understands. You come to the Yam Suf, Moshe says, jump into the Yam. Have emuna. Okay, I got it. I got an A++ in the course of emuna. Am I ready to jump into the water? If the answer is yes, that means that you have bitochon. You really believe in it. You believe in the concept. If you're not willing to jump into the water, you may have gotten an A in emuna, you understand what emuna is theoretically, but you get an F for its application of bitochon. Bitochon, I think, the Chazon Ish is the application of the emuna. The emuna is theoretical. Bitochon is reality.
What you said a couple of years ago to explain, which I use because it's a very good thing, do you believe that I have a pilot's license? And you say, yes, I do. Now, are you willing to get in the plane and fly with me?
I said that?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
And it was very silly. Now, you know, come with me, I'm going.
Interesting. Okay, I'm flattered. You remember something I said? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, now this, you have a photographic memory, so it's not a riot. You remember
everything. No, but
you remember everything.
It was a good...
Thank you. Wow, I'm flattered. Now here, I want to conclude this concept over here, and this is, today in the world of science, this is in the world of science, there's at least one area of science which I think many responsible doctors will acknowledge they know nothing. OBGYN. OBGYN is a big mystery. How is it that when a woman goes into labor, this transition between a child living in the mother's womb and the baby coming out, the transition that the child needs oxygen, the child needs food, b'chulu b'chulu, and inside the mother's womb it's living off whatever, however it lives, however it survives, it survives. And when it comes out, obviously, you start a whole new world. It enters into a whole new phase where, in science, the child needs to live with a different set of rules. And if it would continue for 1 second to live with the set of rules that it had in the mother's womb, it would die, it would suffocate, and vice versa. And this transition is a very big mystery. What exactly triggers this transition, how it works? You read up on it, you'll all acknowledge that it's very, very mysterious. Now, when the baby comes out, if you ask the average person, I'm making assumptions, I don't really know much about this, I'm just making some assumptions, you can think out loud, as Jemayevsky says, when the baby goes, how does the baby get out of the mother's womb? Okay, the baby decides it's time to go, a whole bunch of chain reactions happen in the mother's body, the biology of a woman, okay, a whole set of reactions happen. I think the average person will tell you that the baby is ejected by the mother. The mother, she goes through spasms, I don't know the terminology, there are muscles, and the mother, contractions, that's the word, contractions. The contractions are muscles. It's built in, Hashem created the body in such a way where there are contractions. And basically, if you ask the average doctor, I think he'll tell you, the way the baby gets out, the baby is not...
He said it in the next pasuk.
The next pasuk, Olecha Hashlachti Meyachi, well, you threw me out. Right, okay, very right, okay. Okay, right, you're right, I should have done the next pasuk, but it's too late, but let's just focus on this, what it says over here. Over here is a very, very interesting, which I don't think we look at it like this, and this pasuk is a real eye-opener for medical research and for Hashkafa. You ask the average doctor, like what it says next is, the baby is not necessarily a participant in its departure. But let me give you some background. On Shabbos, if I pick up a person, I carry him on Shabbos in the streets, am I chayef l'chilul Shabbos? The answer is no. Why not? There's a rule called chay noisei es atzma. When you carry a person who's not tied up, there's a principle which there are different opinions what it means. The person that you're carrying adjusts his weight to help you carry him. A person is a complex being, consciously, subconscious. You're carrying a person in your hands. The person feels there's an imbalance and he wiggles. He moves azoy and azoy to make it easy for the person to carry him so he should not fall and get hurt. That's a reality. And this reality has halachic consequences, ramifications. If I pick up an adult or a child, not an infant, a child, and I carry him in the street, I'm not chayif l'chilul Shabbos. Why? I am not the only one who carried him. He carried himself. He assisted me in being carried, in moving his body in a certain way when he felt there's going to be an imbalance.
Sleeping or unconscious?
So if he's sleeping or he's tired, then I'm chayif. Or an infant doesn't have that sophistication. But if the person is sleeping or he's tied up and I carry, I'm chayif. But if the person is awake, I'm potter. He is awake and he's not tired of an